Welcome to the Bayside Church Weekly Message Audio Podcast, Cheltenham.
We're going to turn to God's Word right now. And if you got your Bibles with you, please turn to Psalm 37 with me. Psalm 37. Notes are on baysidechurch.com.au. If you're live streaming with us, you can download the notes and go through them with us. They're also on the YouVersion Bible app. If you're taking your own notes, the title tonight is the Happy Life Series number 7. I've only got one more to go, and that'll be next weekend. Happy Life 7, and tonight's title is Blessed Are the Peacemakers, and it's based on Matthew chapter 5 and verse 9, where Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God." Incidentally, this is the only place in the entire Bible that that word is used. The Greek word for peacemaker is not used anywhere else in the entire Bible. But Jesus is probably quoting here from Psalm 37, as he does with a number of the Beatitudes. And so let's read in Psalm 37, and we'll pick it up from verse 35. And it says, "I have seen a wicked and ruthless man flourishing like a green tree in its native soil. But he soon passed away and was no more. Though I looked for him, he could not be found." Why you'd be looking for a wicked and ruthless man, I don't know, but David was. In verse 37, "Consider the blameless, observe the upright. There is a future for the man of peace." And that's particularly the verse that Jesus is quoting from. "But all sinners will be destroyed. The future of the wicked will be cut off. The salvation of the righteous comes from the Lord. He is their stronghold in a time of trouble. The Lord helps them and delivers them. He delivers them from the wicked and saves them because they take refuge in Him." And so just go back to that one line there. Consider the blameless. In verse 37, "Observe the upright. There is a future for the man of peace." Now, the word "man" there is in Hebrew more generic. Man of peace, ish shalom. It's referring to a person. Shalom, of course, well known as the Hebrew word for peace, which means a whole lot more than simply peace. In this context, ish shalom shows the best way to conduct human relationships. And that's what this statement is all about. Blessed are the peacemakers. They will be called the children of God. I love singing that tonight. I am a child of God. Blessed are the peacemakers, those who know how to conduct their human relationships in a peaceful way wherever possible. And I'm going to come back to those two words, wherever possible, a little bit later in this message. I want you to notice there that Jesus says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, not the peace lovers." In a modern context, we think of this beatitude as meaning an end to war or violence. Peace lovers often want peace at any cost or at no cost at all. Peace lovers fall into two categories, the pacifists and a group of people I will refer to as the peaceful. Now, people who are peaceful, they want peace at any cost, and it's often to their detriment or to the detriment of people around them. And I've got here a number of statements that I'm going to read to you, and if you tick a number of these boxes, you probably are a peace lover rather than a peacemaker, and may need to seek some help and prayer to work through those issues in your life and to come in to a healthier place in your relationships. And so let me read these to you, and you just take a mental note, tick or cross for these, about 10 of them. Number one, you always avoid conflicts or even disagreements. You make it a habit to say yes when you want to say no. You constantly worry about hurting others' feelings. You function totally from shoulds. In other words, I should do this, I should do that. You live your life by I should. You always do more than your share and you do it to please other people. You confuse being needed with being loved. You attract people who need to be rescued or consoled. You feel exhausted from always trying to be perfect. You fear letting your friends, family, or even strangers down. You constantly suppress your anger because you fear rejection. So it's all bubbling away on the inside of you. You usually hold back from saying what you really think and feel. You have many regrets. And finally, you seldom, if ever, express an opinion of your own. Now, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. But if you tick a number of those boxes, if you've been sitting there going, yep, that's me, that's me, that's me, that's me, then what you've developed over the process of time are unhealthy relational patterns, and those need to be unlearned and good ones need to be relearned. And so if that's you, I would encourage you to book in for some prayer ministry, our healing rooms, and some counseling as well. As ministry leaders, we've put together a list of really good counselors who deal with lots of different issues. So you can have a chat with any one of the ministry leaders and they can refer you to someone, and a counselor will help you identify the unhealthy relational patterns in your life and then help you to relearn new ones so that you don't just become a person who wants peace at any cost. So peace lovers include the peaceful, but they also include the pacifist, not the pacifier, for those of you who love Vin Diesel, the pacifist. A pacifist is a person who believes that war and violence are unjustifiable in any circumstance. We did a program on this quite a number of years ago. Before the exchange, we had a program called Bayside TV. Some of you will remember that. And we did a program called Is It Ever Right to Fight? And on our TV programs, we try and get guests normally who have opposing points of view, because that not only makes better TV, but it also broadens people's understanding of a subject. And so we invited a pacifist, a Christian pastor, who is a total pacifist, and the other guest was a Vietnam War veteran, who was an amazing guy. He shared very honestly and very vulnerably about his experiences in the Vietnam War, and also his experiences of rejection when he returned home back to Australia. And so it was a really good program. But ironically, it was the program where we almost came to blows. And you would think, you know, is it ever right to fight? The ironic thing was that it was the pacifist who we thought was going to stand up and deck the Vietnam War vet and probably Christie as well. I think we edited that part out for his sake more than anything. But as we were looking, talking through that program and discussing the issues, you could see him getting redder and redder and redder, and this pacifist was becoming incredibly angry. The Bible does not teach pacifism. It talks about peacemaking, not peace loving. In fact, it gives three times when it is right to fight. Let me give those three times to you very, very quickly. Number one, it's right to fight in order to preserve freedom. Number two, it's right to fight in order to defend innocent people. And number three, it is right to fight in order to stop the spread of evil. And sometimes those three are all kind of interchangeable with others. I think right now about the war against Islamic State would be a classic example. Unchecked, that force of religious fundamentalism will just continue to fester. And so the governments of the world have a responsibility to stand up and to do something in order to stop the spread of evil. If you want to have more detail on that, by the way, you can go to our church website. If you go to the message notes and just download those, have a look at them. I've given you a couple of links. One of them is to a message called What is the Bible's View on War? Where I unpack those three points in detail and give scriptural backing. It's got a link there for you. And also there's a link to the Bayside TV episode, Is It Ever Right to Fight? And watch the pacifist go red. Blessed are the peacemakers, not the peace lovers. Being a peacemaker has to do with three areas of our life. And firstly, and most importantly, it has to do with having peace with God. I think that's got to be the highest form of peace. You can't be a peacemaker unless you are at peace with your maker. That's a great statement, isn't it? It came to me in a flash of brilliance this afternoon, sitting in front of a log fire. peace with God. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7 says the peace of God transcends all understanding. In other words, there are certain things that we cannot work out with our head, and the peace of God is one of them. I've been in situations, and I'm sure many, if not all of you have as well, where everything's going wrong on the outside, but on the inside you feel incredibly peaceful. It makes no sense whatsoever that in the midst of all this, I should be feeling like this. 'Tis all good. The peace of God transcends all understanding. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, the Apostle Paul says, "Therefore, since we have been justified," that word means vindicated, declared not guilty, fully pardoned, "since all that has happened through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." How wonderful it is, church, to have peace with God. There is nothing like the peace of God. At the end of this message, I'm going to give people an opportunity to make their peace with God. I love famous last words, the words that people said toward the end of their lives. I want to say something significant when I get toward the end of my life. I'll have to give some thought to that. I'll probably say, "Here I come, Jesus," or something similar to that. Mother Teresa, her last words, "Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I love you." In his presence. Way to go. Michelangelo, the great artist and sculptor, he wrote these words in his will: "I commit my soul to God, my body to the earth, my possessions to my nearest relatives. I die in the faith of Jesus Christ and in the firm hope of a better life." He's painting in heaven right now. William Shakespeare, in his last will and testament a month before his death, wrote this: "I commend my soul into the hands of God, my Creator, hoping and assuredly believing only through the merits of Jesus Christ, my Saviour, to be made partaker of life everlasting." Sir Michael Faraday, who's probably one of the greatest experimental scientists of all time, as he lay dying, journalists questioned him regarding his speculations of life after death. What on earth the journalists were doing there, I do not know. I really hope, I love journalists, but I really hope you're not at my bedside. It's like, would you guys leave now? You're probably going to misquote me anyway. I just want Christy and the girls. They got a bit of an emotional response. And so these are the words that he uttered in response to their questions about speculations of life after death. Questulations. That's a new word for you. "Speculations," he said, "I know nothing of speculations. I am resting on certainties. I know that my Redeemer lives, and because he lives, I shall live also." Amen. Amen. Martin Luther, 1546. "O my heavenly Father, my eternal and everlasting God, thou hast revealed to me your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. I have preached him, I have confessed him, I love him and worship him as my dearest Saviour and Redeemer. Into thy hand I commit my spirit." Amen. I'd actually like to memorize that. Well, I'd probably get to the bit, what was after heavenly Father? Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the courageous German theologian, he was hanged in Nazi Germany during the Second World War as a full-on Christian for standing up to Hitler's regime and speaking out for Christian justice. On his way to the gallows, he said this: "This is the beginning of a new life, eternal life." Amen. There's something that happens in the human heart when we have peace with God. Amen. Blessed are the peacemakers. They will be known as the children of God. Something incredible there where we can actually face death with courage, like Andrew and Mayuran and the others who were executed recently. When you have peace with God, you can walk out onto a killing field singing, "Bless the Lord, O my soul. O my soul, worship his holy name." Peace with God. Peace with God leads to a greater sense of inner peace, and that's the second sort of peace that we know. If you're a peacemaker, you know peace with self. It's that sense of inner shalom contentment, satisfaction, happiness. Despite what may be going on around us, we are at peace. We hear this saying from time to time. People talk about being comfortable in their own skin. That's what it's like to be at peace with self. I've discovered as I've got older that I am more and more comfortable in this body that is owned by Rob Buckingham. What a shame you can't have that when you're younger. Maybe you can, but I think back to my teenage years and even through my 20s where I was so uncomfortable in my skin. I wanted to be different in so many different ways, different physically. I wanted to be different because I was skinny, just this tall, really skinny guy, like about 30 kilos lighter than I am now, if you can just imagine. It's like a split pin. And so I was uncomfortable in my skin. I was uncomfortable sometimes around people. I know that you might find this hard to believe now, but I was intimidated by some people. I used to be, even as a young pastor, incredibly intimidated by business people, particularly if they were successful in large businesses. I would always be nervous around them. Just after I started Bayside, I was invited by the local council to go and open a council session in prayer as one of the local ministers. And I just went in there shaking like a leaf. And I met the mayor at the time and I was shaking all over. Why? Because I was uncomfortable in my skin. I'm not like that anymore. It's a wonderful feeling just to be relaxed in who I am, who God has created me to be. And that's not an excuse not to allow the Spirit of God to change you to make you more like Jesus. But it is just being able to relax in who God has made you to be. As we sung earlier, you know, we were fashioned in our mother's womb. God knew exactly what He was doing when He made us. Amen. And He doesn't make mistakes. And so just rest and relax in who God has made you to be. Don't be too hard on yourself because there's plenty of people willing to do that for you. One of the common themes in the Bible is love your neighbor as yourself. In fact, 8 times in the Bible it says that, love your neighbor as yourself. It infers that to really love others, you have to love yourself, who God has created you to be at peace with yourself. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 14, the Apostle Paul says, the entire law is summed up in a single command, love your neighbor as yourself. When it refers to the entire law, it's actually talking about the entire Old Testament or what really should be referred to as the Hebrew Scriptures. It's that part of the Bible that's over 600,000 words. It's a lot of words. And Paul goes, let me summarize 600,000 words in 5 words for you. Love your neighbor as yourself. Pretty incredible. In James chapter 2 and verse 8, James calls love your neighbor as yourself the royal law. In other words, out of all the laws in the Bible, that one is the most important. When we love ourselves, when we're comfortable in our own skin, we will be truly free to love others. And that leads me to my third and final area of peace, and that is peace with people. So number one is peace with God. Second is peace with yourself. Thirdly is peace with people. On the basis of being at peace with God and enjoying His peace in our lives, we are equipped to be peacemakers wherever possible in our world. And so remember, right at the beginning, we're talking about this being about relationships. And so this is being a peacemaker between individuals, in friendships, with family, in our communities, and of course to the nations, whenever possible. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 18 is one of the most realistic passages in the Scriptures. It says, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone, inferring very strongly that sometimes it is not possible, even when you have done everything humanly possible, some people will not make peace with you. And you are not to beat yourself up if that is the case. Be realistic. Everyone experiences both good and bad relationships. Everyone. Everyone relates more easily to some people than others. Some people love you while others don't. With some people, you enjoy friendships, but others are always argumentative. Have you noticed that? Some people are always argumentative. No, they're not. Yes, they are. No, disagree. Sorry, is this the 5-minute argument or the full half hour? You can divide people into three groups. People who like you very much, they call you by your name. People who have a neutral interest in you can't recall your name. People who disdain you know your name but call you other names. And so peacemakers try to live in harmony with others. They work to restore and preserve relationships, but they also are realistic about their own imperfections as well as the imperfections of other people. This is all about relationships. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. Amen. Let's bow in prayer together, shall we?
We hope you enjoyed listening to this weekly message audio podcast. If you'd like to listen to more messages and find out more information, check out our website at www.baysidechurch.com.au. Church has changed. Check it out.